blink of an eye, we're asked to simply forget about Democrats on this committee, falsely claiming they had more than circumstantial evidence of collusion between President Trump and Russians. We should forget about them reading fabrications of Trump-Russia collusion from the Steele dossier into the congressional record. We should also forget about them trying to obtain nude pictures of Trump from Russian pranksters who pretended to be Ukrainian officials.
California Republican Congressman Devin Nunes, during yesterday's impeachment hearing, you'd be forgiven if you came away from 6 hours of monologues, grandstanding, and political theater from both sides, ready to tune it all out. If you haven't been poring over the impeachment saga with a fine-tooth comb or spending time in the political blogosphere, it's probably more than a little bit confusing. For some viewers, it's easier to wait for a summary and analysis from a reporter after the fact. TV is designed that way. New York Times TV critic James Poniewozik says during the 1973 Watergate hearings, that was not the case. The testimony was can't-miss television, with just two anchors, not a saturated field of talking heads. And James talks about it now with me on the line. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back. Okay, so just as a TV critic, what were your takeaways from the hearing yesterday?
I thought that it was the testimony was absorbing, but not in a, you know, the sort of like explosive way that we're kind of conditioned to expect from the very sort of, you know, heightened dramatic atmosphere of cable news. I thought that in a way, weirdly, we're mentioning the Watergate hearings, listening to somebody like Bill Taylor testify was in a way kind of a throwback to the sort of testimony that you heard back in those hearings which were, in the sort of lingo of that scandal, like a slow burn. It kind of built gradually, over times. It was much more sort of, methodical, had that kind of gravelly, you know, Cronkite-like voice of authority. It really was, and this was somebody who was a longtime diplomat and so on, kind of like listening to a voice of a different media era within the current media era.
Well, then you know, I played that clip from Devin Nunes as an example, but there were lots of examples yesterday of just a lot of, I guess, maybe you could call it obfuscation, but just a lot of information being thrown out and with, you know, little opportunity to say, wait, what? What are you talking about? Is it all an attempt to confuse viewers to say, oh, I don't know, I don't want to tune into this anymore? It's just too much.
I think on the Republican side, which is basically the opposition side in this testimony, I think that was part of it was, you know, sort of kicking up dust and, you know, kind of throwing up reasons to disregard this testimony if you're inclined to disregard it, and or simply it doesn't necessarily have to be about persuasion. It doesn't have to be about, you know, convincing the viewer, oh, this person is not credible, this testimony is made up or whatever. It can be just about giving people the idea, oh, this is just another partisan argument. I'm so sick of that. It's, you know, Democrats arguing against Republicans and blah, blah, blah. And it's the same old thing. And kind of appealing to that sort of cynicism, you know. Really, there was, I think, you know, and this is, you know, not me trying to take a political side, but honestly, there was more of this sort of grandstanding and disruption on the Republican side, in part because the Democrats had an interest in advancing a narrative, and the Republicans weren't so much advancing a counter narrative as they were kind of trying to throw up interruptions and kind of break the rhythm of the narrative that was being offered.
And then I guess it depended where you watched it, because even though all of the networks were providing it live, there were different chyrons on Fox News than there were on, let's say, MSNBC.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's another big difference between this and, say, the Watergate era, you know, when people got their news from the same networks and basically saw the same sort of framing and accepted a certain baseline of agreed on facts and so forth. And now you can be watching, you know, it's still the same story. You're still hearing the same testimony. But when you're seeing Bill Taylor testify on MSNBC, it's with a graphic saying, you know, senior diplomat served X number of years in Ukraine, et cetera, you know, these resume bullet points. And on Fox News, it's, you know, October 23rd, President Trump dismissed him as a quote, never Trumper. It's, you know, a list of, you know, really pretty specifically partisan disparaging points. So it's, you know, same movie, but a different filter.
Right. Which is important because it's two different audiences, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it is just an example of how, you know, we are now able to receive news in more and more formats that are tailored to our pre-existing worldviews and pre-existing conceptions. And, you know, yeah, it's easy to look at something like Fox News and saying, oh, you know, they're propagandizing their audience or whatever. You know, in a way, though, you know, kind of as you say, they're giving their audience what they want. You know, mm-hmm. people are, you know, tuning into that because, you know, it's like the, you know, arguments you can use against your liberal nephew at Thanksgiving kind of thing. People, not just on Fox News, but, you know, we'll seek out media outlets in this day and age to sort of get ammunition to support their
right.
worldviews.
Well, speaking
and
of Fox,
the context in which,
I mean,
go ahead.
Speaking of Fox News, which is kind of an interesting tidbit, Roger Ailes, of course, created it in 1996. It debuted, but the origin story began in the 70s when Ailes was a Nixon advisor at the height of Watergate. Nixon basically saying that his side needed his own news.
You know, and that story goes even a little farther back. Roger Ailes was basically Nixon's media guru during the 1968 election. You know, Nixon was a candidate who was done in by TV in 1960 and basically elected by TV in 1968. And one thing that Roger Ailes did for him in 1968 was create this set of primetime TV forums for Nixon. In which he would stand and receive questions and look sort of brave and heroic in doing so. And I think one of the things he said about it is that, you know, this is a show and it's our show and we're going to control the way that it looks. And I think, you know, one of his great insights starting Fox News is that particularly in a fragmented media era, a lot of the things that work in politics work in this type of media.
I just want to go back in time and play a clip of tape from the Watergate hearings. This is from the opening statement from Democratic Senator Sam Ervin. He headed the Senate Watergate Committee. And let's listen to it. It's a little lengthy, and there is he misspeaks at one point.
And if these allegations proved to be true, what they were seeking to steal was not the jewels, money, or other property of American citizens, but something much more valuable, their most precious heritage, the right to vote in a free election. Since that day, a mood of incredulity has prevailed among our populace, and it is the constitutional duty of this committee to act expeditiously, to allay the fears being expressed by the citizenry, and to establish the factual basis upon which these fears have been founded.
Okay, so you wrote in your column about this moment in particular, and it's kind of difficult to hear him try to pronounce the word incredulity. But aside from that, it does point to perhaps a more genteel atmosphere than exists today.
I went back and watched a lot of that initial Watergate broadcasts as preparation. One thing I was struck by at that moment was that it recalled the Mueller testimony to me, and just thinking, mm-hmm. you know, something like this aired today, there'd be 500 think pieces the next day about, you know, did Democrat Sam Ervin sabotage their chances by coming off discombobulated on TV? There would have been a presidential tweet, you know, about stumbling Sam Ervin can't even keep his story straight. And, you know, that would have been a big part of the story. That's kind of the metabolism of so much of the media, you know, again, as opposed to this earlier time when there was simply less, you know, media saturation and parsing of individual moments like that, and more of a sense that everybody involved in these hearings was like speaking to the same America.
Always great to talk to you.
Oh, thanks. Great to talk to you.
That's James Poniewozik. He's chief television critic for The New York Times. Coming up, people are lonely. There's an app for that. Why friendship apps exist and how to be a good friend. That's next on Press Play.